Good morning, Cornerstone. Welcome. Welcome this morning. And I want to say a special welcome to Gideon and Liliana. They are online. And Gideon had this great idea. If we were back to only live stream, to do live stream on the road. He wanted us to do live stream at his house. So Gideon, pretend we're at your house right now. But welcome, Gideon, Liliana, Craig and Sarah, everybody who's on live stream and everybody who's here in person. We're going to be talking about really just fighting discouragement, finding the hope that we have in Christ and pushing away from those discouragements that come. And there's kind of going to be a lot of different ways we do that today. But the music, the songs, the words that we sing are encouraging. They're meant to lift you up. So if you're in the middle of winter and feeling like, I want spring to come, or you're going through something difficult, let these songs and these words remind you of what's true. We also have a special guest today, Joy Stutzman from Life's Choices. She's going to share what's going on in that ministry, which is right here in Kutztown in Hamburg. And you'll hear about what's going on there. And so we'll be in 2 Corinthians together, all kinds of stuff. Hopefully you'll walk out of here lifted up and encouraged. So let's start with some music. Would you rise to your feet? Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name,
Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name,
Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Oh,
blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name,
Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Whoa. hope in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Before we sing this next verse, how about we just do what we're talking about? You got a burden? Just bring it. Just bring it to God right now. Just you and God. Close your eyes. Share your burden with Him. Lord, we give you our burdens. Everybody's got some more than others. But you love us all the same, God, and you invite us to come. So we come.
Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Father, we come before you this morning. Thank you that you're a God who bears our burdens. We bring you our burdens, and we receive your joy through Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's good to sing and good to bring our stuff to Him, right? Well, we're going to allow the kids to stay here for a little bit longer. You guys can have a seat. And my friend Joy is going to come up and share some stuff with us about life's choices. I've known Joy for quite a few years. She's been an anchor at Life's Choices for quite a while, too. So I appreciate her ministry. And why don't you share with us?
Thank you so much for allowing me to share with you this morning. It's so good to be here. And I just was thinking as I was driving in here this morning, I'm often running a few minutes late and on my way to work, which is, you know, right by the college. And I often get stuck, you know, with the students crossing the street and I'm like, oh, you know, here I'm a few minutes late. This morning, I thought, oh, it'll be smooth sailing. But this morning, I got stuck behind the buggies on the way here. So where else but in Kutztown do you have this interesting dynamic of cultures and people? And I'm a Kutztown, I mean, I live outside of Kutztown, but our kids went here to school. And so Kutztown is very near and dear to my heart, as I know it is to you too. And so I just want to say thank you for your support of Life's Choices. Thank you for having me here today. Thank you for doing the baby bottle fundraiser that helps us as we are trying to be a light in the community, as you are too. We need to partner together, right? So if you're not familiar with Life's Choices, we are a pregnancy resource center. We're located in Kutztown and Hamburg. Here in Kutztown, we're one block from the university. We see a lot of college students. We have services to help women who are in crisis pregnancies. We offer free pregnancy tests and ultrasounds to confirm their pregnancy, and then we provide support, options counseling, support and resources for parenting. And I see our services kind of falling in three different categories. So that is the one category of, you know, providing resources. But then another thing we do is what I think of as preventative things, and that is we also provide testing for sexually transmitted infections. And it is a needed service in the community, but it also fits with our purpose because it allows us to talk with clients before they're in a pregnancy situation and, you know, hopefully maybe help them think about their lifestyle choices and maybe take a little different direction and avoid, you know, some risky behavior in the future. But then we also, another thing we do that I consider to be preventative is that we go into schools. We have a program called Thrive, and it we go to middle schools and high schools and provide healthy relationship education. And again, it's reaching young people and talking to them about their choices and the risks that are out there, and then giving them the information and then helping them or letting them choose, you know, which is a good way to go. And avoiding some of those risks of sexual activity. And then we also have the third area is post-abortion recovery, and that is for someone who has the pain of abortion in their past, that they can find healing and hope from that. And you'll hear more about that a little bit later. We are planning to start an abortion healing Bible study on March 7th. It'll be in the Hamburg area. But if you know of anyone or if you yourself have been impacted by an abortion, we would love to have you join that. It's completely confidential, and you can just contact us through our website, and we'll give you information. But I wanted to share with you this morning a verse that I feel is like a theme verse for Life's Choices. It's John 8:12. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." This is from the New Living Translation, and I think it so describes what we do at Life's Choices, because, you know, there are many people that are stumbling around in the dark, and they don't know which way to go, and we want to lead them on the path that leads to life. And as you can imagine, you know, we're thinking about a new mom who's in a pregnancy situation, and we want her to, you know, we want her to help her move towards life. Life-giving choices. But there's so much more than that. Everything we do, and each one of us has choices every single day that lead us towards life or the destruction of life, whether it's in our relationships or our, you know, physical bodies or our health, our families. We want to make life-giving choices. And, you know, there are several ways you could do that as you think about leading someone out of the darkness into the light. You could, you know, kind of like, if you remember those things where you used to do a trust walk and somebody was blindfolded and you had to like get them through the maze or whatever, and you're kind of pulling them or pushing them or, you know, trying to lead them or tell them which way to go, and they're like, you know, all confused. But what if, instead of doing that, what if you just took the blindfold off? Or what if you just turned the light on? And so that, I feel, is what we try to do at Life's Choices. We try to not put pressure on people, not push them, you know, tell them what to do, but we just try to be the light and turn on the light so that they can see which way to go. And the way we do that is we first of all, when we turn on the light, we turn on the love. We really love our clients. We see many college students and those who aren't, but we love every single one of them. We miss them when they aren't around. For a year and a half, they weren't on campus. We missed them, and we were so glad to see them come back. And they're confused. Many people, we all are, you know. We all have confusion in our lives, but we love them. And so that's one of the biggest things we can do, and our clients respond so well to that. They might come for an appointment and before they leave ask for a hug, or they might be in tears because they're searching for someone to love them just the way they are, like Jesus loves them. But then we also are able to offer, we turn the light on by offering them the principles of the Bible, and that's because they work. We don't even have to always mention the Bible. In fact, that's how we have to do it when we go into the schools. We aren't going to be talking about the Bible or God. We can't do that in public schools. And yet everything that we teach is principles from the Bible that actually work. And so that's a way of turning on the light. And then another way is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we do ask for, you know, we need that. We can't do what we do without the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's that invisible force that's really working to change someone's life. Recently, we had a young man who came for an STD test, and we always offer to pray with our clients before they leave. They, you know, it's their choice, but almost all of them would like it, and we pray for them. And when he came back the second time, he made a point to say that as he was driving away from our office, he felt a lightness inside of himself. And he mentioned that and said, you know, I pray sometimes, but I've never had anyone pray over me. And he felt that difference. He felt that power of the Holy Spirit. So these are some of the ways that we are able to turn the light on for people, for our clients. But, you know, even when you offer them the truth, not everybody makes the choice that you would like them to. And this isn't a we thing. I mean, this isn't a they thing. This is a we thing. We all get down, you know, started on the wrong path sometimes. But that's why I love this verse, which is from Jeremiah 8:12. And it says, when people fall down, don't they get up again? When they discover they're on the wrong road, don't they turn back? Then why do these people stay on their self-destructive path? So the good news is that if we find ourselves, if any one of us finds herself getting on the wrong path, we can always make a change. And so I want to finish my talk this morning with a video to show you. And this is someone that I had the opportunity to interview this summer who went through the abortion healing Bible study. She lived for 50 years with the pain of abortion in her life. And last spring, she decided to just make that small change to take her on a totally different trajectory, because she was experiencing destructive choices that started 50 years ago. But she took that one step to sign up for a Bible study, and it completely changed her life. So please listen.
I had my abortion 50 years ago, and I already had my two little boys and did not want a third one. Situation was a little rocky, and I did not want to have more.
So 50 years is a long time to carry something.
It's a long time to carry guilt. You've killed your child. And that guilt doesn't go away. I would push it down and forget about it for a while, and then it would pop up again, and I'd push it down again, and finally I just decided I've got to talk to somebody about this. And that's when I talked to my pastor and got in contact with Life's Choices. There were three other girls in the class with me who also had abortions. I just felt put at ease, realizing that I'm not in this alone. I just can't express how much relief I felt to finally have it out in the open. I just was able, after that, to tell my three children about my abortion. Since then, I've been able to tell a few other folks, and I'd like that to continue. Life's Choices is offering another course to teach how to talk to young girls about this.
Yeah, and that way you can use your experience to bring hope to somebody else.
Yes. Yeah. There is no good thing that comes out of an abortion, and you won't feel good about it either. Even when you're an old lady like me, mm-hmm. you'll still feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. I realized that although my family was at that time about 17 or 18 strong, I was missing a whole branch that I foolishly got rid of. There would have been another child, another spouse, more grandchildren. And I realized that I just got rid of them all.
So as painful as that thought is about missing that piece of your family tree, still you found comfort in going through the process of, you know, going through the healing process. What is something that brought you comfort after going through that?
I realized that as a born-again Christian, I'll be going to heaven, and I realized that my baby is already there, which is something that this course talks about.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it's a beautiful thought.
It was a beautiful experience.
Yeah, there's nothing that goes beyond God's ability to redeem. Mm-hmm. And he sees the picture that goes to eternity.
Right.
Thank you, Joy. Appreciate that. Joy has a heart of gold. She and her team are having important conversations, life-changing conversations. And it's a very important place to be in our community. So appreciate what you guys are doing. And you'll have a couple of opportunities to support that. I'll let you know about that in a little bit. But right now, just, you know, as you think about people coming into life's choices with their burdens and what they've got going on, everybody's got burdens. And so Karis and I are going to sing this song. It's a new one, so I mean, if you know it, you want to sing, you can. But you can stay in your seat and just let the message of this song maybe wash over you.
Friend, so I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 oh. You saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Your Son for redemption. Christ for my heart. I don't have a contest for that kind of love. I don't understand. I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father. I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding. No reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 and again and again. Oh, 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 my heart has been in your sight long before my first breath. Running into your arms is running to life from death. And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in, and I know I need you now. I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 and again and again. Oh, 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 and again and again.
All right. Well, let's pray for life's choices. Can we do that? Lord, we come before you. Thank you that you take every burden. You hold it. You carry us through. Lead us through the valley of the shadow of death, whatever that might be. And God, we pray for these who are coming to life's choices, who are scared and who need help. And they've got questions. They need answers. They don't even know all the questions to ask. But Lord, I thank you for this ministry, and I pray, God, for effectiveness. I pray for fruitfulness. I pray that they would be walking closely with your Spirit. Everyone that works at Life's Choices, God, that they'd have a close, intimate relationship with you, and that would shine with those folks who come in who are struggling with whatever it is they come in with. God, so I pray that you'll provide for them. I pray that you'll strengthen them and bless that ministry in this town. Thank you for them, God, and thank you that we can be connected with them too, that we're part of the same team. And so, Lord, we thank you for all of that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we're going to change gears a little bit here. And any kids who want to head downstairs, third grade and under, for children's church and nursery, that's going to be downstairs. And while that's happening, while parents are heading down, or kids, I've got a question of the day up here. Some of you have been watching Olympics already. What is your favorite Winter Olympic sport to watch? And just think about that for a second. Share that and say hello to somebody near you.
All right. Well, I like watching Olympics. I like a lot of the winter sports because I'm a winter sport kind of guy. I don't understand curling, but I think most of the other ones I'm good with. Hopefully you're not going to be streaming Olympics right now, and you can just join us for the rest of what we're doing this morning. But I appreciate Life's Choices. I appreciate them being able to come here and share with us. I think it's a really important ministry because people who would not come into this kind of building and have something like this will go into that place and look for help. So just keep them in mind as you go through life, because you never know when you might need their ministry. You might know somebody who is in a crisis that has knocked them off their feet. We're a people who are equipped by God to help others in crisis. Whether it's a pregnancy kind of crisis or something else, God has put within us what we need to help people, to give them the kind of help that they really need in crisis. So we're followers of Jesus. We're in this together. We are helping people who are, as Joy said, in darkness and in confusion. Whatever hardship people are facing, we have hope. We have hope, and that's what we've been talking about the last couple weeks, this hope that we have, and we need to really embrace it. We need to have that hope in order to share that hope, so we don't want it to just be this superficial, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and okay, that's fine, but everything else is not really connected to that. So we've been talking about this out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 3, and last week, if you were here, the analogy was light. This light that is coming out of us, that God has put in us. 2 Corinthians 4:6. I don't know if I have a 4:7. 2 Corinthians 4:6, God has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God displayed in the face of Christ. So first God fills us with hope. We need to be filled first. And then he gives us this ministry of sharing that hope with other people. That's huge. This week, the analogy we find in 2 Corinthians shifts from light to treasure. And treasure kind of attracts me. I'm kind of drawn to that idea. But he's talking about treasure. Now, this light that God's put in us, this light that is shining out of us, it's not just this, like, these lumens of lightness. It's coming from something, and it's coming from a treasure. It's coming from something gold inside of us, this incredibly valuable treasure. So the analogy shifts from light to treasure. And in 2 Corinthians 4, 7, he says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. And what I really want us to think about this morning is, what does that phrase mean? We have this treasure in jars of clay. Last week we talked about, we began, seven truths to fight discouragement, all from 2 Corinthians 4. And so quick review to bring you up to speed. If you missed that, you're not going to get the whole thing, but here are the three that we talked about. Number one, by God's mercy, I'm on his team. I'm on the winning team. That's encouraging. That's hopeful. When stuff is going crazy and feels out of control, no, by God's mercy, I'm on his team, and we know where that's going. Second truth, people won't always accept what they hear. People will not always respond positively. As we're shining light and as we're being Christ followers and we're trying to reflect him and share him with other people, people won't always accept that. They have spiritual blindness. We saw that in chapter 4. God has allowed this blindness, and there's a God of this world who has blinded people, and Joyce shared that. There's blind people in this town. They're not always going to accept what they hear. And it's not your fault. Third truth, God can overcome their blindness. We need that hope. Not me figuring out the exact perfect words to say. God can overcome their blindness. And I hope you found some encouragement in those truths. There's four more truths in this chapter that I want to talk about today. And they're in the last half, verses 7 through 18. And really, they specifically relate to people who are, we talked last time about people who are, they're Christians, but they're not really shining. And that can be discouraging because, like, not much is happening. But what about those who are serving God? They're pouring themselves into serving God and shining the best they can, and it seems like nothing's happening. You're in a spiritual winter. Where's God? Trying to share your faith, and nobody's listening. Serving God and going through all kinds of suffering. Where's God now? And God does take us through spiritual winters where it feels like he's abandoned us. 2 Corinthians 4 has some hope for you when that's where you are. Hope for the spiritually discouraged. So I want to read the rest of this chapter and then just kind of draw out those four truths that I found as I was studying this passage these last few weeks. This is going to help us fight discouragement. And maybe you want to think about this passage as I read, as what should we expect from the Christian life? What is going to be included? Not everything, but what will we see as we follow Jesus? Chapter 4, verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Verse 13, it is written, I believed, therefore I've spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. God, I pray that you will open our eyes to understand what you're saying here. God, give us understanding of this treasure in jars of clay, of the hardships that we face, the discouragements that come. God, help us to see them the way you see them, to be encouraged even in them. In Jesus' name. Amen. So after reading that passage, do you think it's safe to say that following Jesus can be hard? Is that safe to say? I mean, he uses phrases like, death is at work in us. There's hope. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are struck down, but not destroyed. This is Paul's description of what's happening to God's people in the city of Corinth and to Paul himself at this time. Now, we read some of Paul's trials last week. Do you remember that? Beatings, shipwrecks, multiple shipwrecks, hunger, naked, cold. Paul went through some crazy hard stuff. You cannot imagine what it means to be whipped 39 times, almost to the point of death, more than once, three times. Remember my friend I told you about last week who's kind of sorting out what he believes about God and spiritual things? I'm pretty sure the question he would be asking after reading this passage is, why doesn't God treat his followers better than that? Kind of a valid question, isn't it? Why does God allow this kind of stuff to happen? So really, on the surface, as you read this passage, it could actually be discouraging. But if we can press into it, I think you'll find some serious hope here. So let's do that. Let's not just settle for a surface reading. Let's dig in and see, what do we have going on here? Where are we going to find hope in this passage? Treasure number four of the seven truths to fight discouragement. Number four, my suffering reveals God's glory. My suffering reveals God's glory. Verse 7, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So what is Paul talking about? Where is he going with this idea? This is an analogy, treasure in jars of clay. What is he talking about? God's the treasure, right? God is the treasure. His glory, his presence inside of us. And what are the jars of clay? What are the jars of clay? Us. We're the jars of clay. Yes. We're the jars of clay. And back in those days, I mean, we don't use pottery as much. I mean, up at KU in the art department, they do pottery stuff. And I've had mugs given to me and made and some beautiful stuff. But in those days, clay was pretty ordinary. And clay pots, I mean, this one is pretty decorated, but they're pretty simple. And all they had to work with really was clay. So they would do a lot of this. And these were kind of ordinary. Clay pots were very ordinary things. And so there's a kind of a big contrast here where in and of itself, if the clay pot breaks, it's pretty much worthless. Throw it away. Get another one. And yet he's telling us God has put his treasure, his greatest treasure, inside clay pots. What's he doing? Why does he do that? Why would God put his greatest treasure in something so fragile and ordinary like us? Verse 7 tells us, right? Why does he do it? To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I want you to think about this idea for a little bit. I have an illustration that hopefully it works for some of you. Maybe it won't work for all of you. But just imagine God as a goldsmith, right? He's got the treasure. I mean, cattle on a thousand hills, all the gold in the universe. God has treasure. And so God as a goldsmith has melted down this mountain of gold. Right? So it's liquid right now. And he's pouring it into these clay jars. He just pours this solid gold in these clay jars. Somehow they don't crack, they don't break, they hold. And so these things are filling up. This would be much, much heavier if you filled it up with gold. Probably 100 pounds. Like, seriously. The gold is seriously heavy. So he pours his treasure into clay pots, which is us. And now you've got this solid, so then it solidifies, turns into solid gold inside that pot. So you've got a solid gold core inside this clay pot. You picture that? There's going to be a little bit of difference in that pot anymore now, right? There's going to be a little more value to it and a little more strength to it, right? Right? How much stronger is that clay pot going to be than one that's filled with something else, like water or dirt? Which one's going to be stronger? One with solid gold in it, you think? And so to make this illustration work, the gold, when it solidifies, it permanently bonds itself to the clay so that it cannot be separated. Right? That's what happens with that gold, with this illustration of, because this is a picture of God's presence in his people. This is a picture of God in us. Like, it's not separable. It's not going anywhere. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. This is God in us. So now you've got this clay pot full of gold. Now imagine what happens when the pressure of life comes, when life gets hard, because this is us, right? This is me filled with God's gold. And now pressure comes. Life gets hard. We start getting beaten around. We start getting shaken. Trauma happens. Life happens. Do you think what's inside us will make any difference? I think so. I think it'll make a lot of difference. And I want to show you the difference with an illustration. Now I have to substitute the pot for something else that won't make quite the same mess that I would make otherwise. I'm going all out with this illustration. These are two clay pots, okay? Brown paper bags. These are clay pots, and they represent two different kinds of people. One of them has the presence of God within them, okay? And I'm gonna represent that by this 35-pound kettlebell, okay? It's the heaviest thing I could find. It's not made of gold, but it's almost as heavy. So the presence of God is solid. It is solid. So that's a follower of Jesus filled with God. Okay? So now we have to contrast. So what are we going to contrast? This is somebody who does not have the presence of God, who does not have the peace of God, who is filled with popcorn. Okay, so this is what they are filled with. And maybe if you're a thinking person, you know, that's a little simplistic. It's an illustration, and it's less messy than what it could be if I chose other things. So, and really what I want you to see, I want you to know that there's a big difference between those who have God in them and those who don't, right? So now we got to make this thing real. We're getting out the baseball bat of life, okay? What's going to happen when life hits these two different people, right? And nobody can avoid the baseball bat of life. It happens, right? You walk into work, and there's a pink slip. Sorry, we don't have room for you anymore. You just got hit with a baseball bat of life. What's going to be the difference? Right? You ready for this? The person who's filled with Jesus, baseball. Okay, that hurts, right? I won't do that too many times. But nothing happened. Like, it hurts. The baseball bat hurts. There's no avoiding that. But not going anywhere, right? You go into school, and you find out your best friend is moving away. Man, you just got whacked, right? I know. The noise will help you remember. Gotta use all the senses. I'd have you taste a piece of the bag to get that sense going too, but we won't do that. So, like, all these different things come. The baseball bat of life comes. You never know when it's going to come, but it comes, and it hurts, right? Bankruptcy, unplanned pregnancy, divorce. Like, there's big things and there's small things, but we get hit all the time. What's going to happen to the person who's filled with popcorn? This is the substance and values of what they have. Now, I'm not trying to say that someone who doesn't have Jesus can't handle any problems in life, but there's a difference when you are full of the presence and the treasure of God. So now you walk in and your job is over. We're still here. I don't think I could possibly knock this thing off with this baseball bat. I feel bad for the bat. I think I made some dents. If Ethan hadn't grown out of this bat, I wouldn't have used it. There's a big difference. And really, the baseball bat of life has beaten you in some specific, painful ways. And if this really was clay, we'd kind of have a mess on our hands, right? But remember, the gold adheres to us. So what happens to this person? We get cracks. We get dinged up. And when that happens, what do you see through the cracks? You see the gold, right? You see the gold inside. And life has beaten some of you up in some very difficult ways. And even with God inside, it is not fun. But because of the substance of what God has put inside of us, we are not destroyed. We're not. Dinged up a bit, but not crushed. Right? Verse 8 and 9. We're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Right? Perplexed. What is going on? God, what are you doing? But we don't despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. With God in us, the beatings of life don't break us. I was in Psalm 125 this week in my devotions, and just this verse just kind of jumped out at me as I'm thinking about this topic. Listen to what it says, Psalm 125, 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Wow. And I know you don't always feel that strong, but that is the treasure that's inside of you. And it's not going anywhere. That's encouraging in itself. Knowing this, knowing God has put this treasure in me and it's not going anywhere, it is with me to the end. That is hope. But there's more. Because the truth is, what happens to us is not just for us. It's not just for us. There's more. Look at verses 10 through 12. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Truth number 5. When life gets hard and we're facing our worst, the treasure inside us becomes more visible and more transferable. Somehow this treasure that's inside us can be transferred without losing any. And God can pour his treasure into other people. When there are cracks in our pot, the gold shines through better. He says death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So when you're reflecting God, even in that time of suffering, when you still reflect God when you're suffering, he's a lot more obvious than when everything's going well and you're giving God the credit. He shines brighter in our suffering. It's how it works. Think about Job's story, right? You know the story of Job? The beginning of a story, everything is going his way. Of course he's a righteous and godly man. God gives him everything. And that's what Satan brings to God, right? God had given him more wealth and blessing than you and I could fathom. But when all that was taken away, and Job still gave God his worship and his faith, that's when he really stood out. We wouldn't have a story without that. And that story's been encouraging God's people for 4,000 years. If not longer. Verse 11 of our passage talks about followers of Jesus being given over to death for Jesus' sake. That's kind of bleak. Given over to death for Jesus' sake. That could mean martyrdom. But Jesus talks about dying to ourselves also, right? This is not just physically dying for the cause of Jesus. This is more often the idea of dying to ourselves. Right? Where I'm letting go of my rights. I have a bigger purpose. I'm letting go of my right to pursue revenge or even just to pursue self-gratification. I am dying to myself because I have a bigger purpose. With this mindset from verse 11 and these couple of verses here, I choose to no longer live to make myself happy. That's not my goal. Now I live to make God smile. I want to live to make God smile. that's going to have another effect in me. And when I live that way, when that's my purpose, that's my focus, the supernatural, transcendent life of Jesus becomes visible in me. People can see that. And God uses that to reach and transform other people, to fill them with hope and make his light shine out of them too. That's what it means for death to be at work in me and life to be at work in you. My suffering reveals God's glory and it shares it with someone else. So truth number five, when life gets really hard, we're facing our worst, the treasure inside us becomes more visible and more transferable. So think about that. You've got the treasure in you. Who are the people around you who God needs to show himself through you? Maybe you need to ask God, who needs to see you in me right now? Who needs to see you in me? He's put people in your life. Some you're really close with, some you're not. But God shines the brightest in us when our faith holds strong, even when we're hurting, even when we're breaking. Because we won't be destroyed. Not with the treasure that God's put inside of us. What is this treasure? Where does it come? What is this strength that God gives us? Truth number six, our hope is in something pretty profound, pretty solid. Resurrection hope comes from our resurrected Savior. Resurrection hope, that goes the distance, right? That comes from our resurrected Savior. That's what he tells us in verse 14. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us. Man, because of the resurrection, we know the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us. There it is, right there. Our hope is not in some shallow thing like people's approval. If I have more people like me, if we have more people coming to church, if you have worldly view of success, anything like that, our hope is in something eternal. My hope is in the eternal resurrection and in my future presence with Jesus in heaven. That's where it's going. That's where it's ending. Nobody can take that from us. And that faith, that strength that you have, is what God uses to reach more people, which is exactly what he says next. All this is for your benefit. Not just mine, for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. God intends to use the hope he planted in you to provide hope for more and more people, he says. More and more. I want this to spread to more and more people. So the grace that's reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Thanksgiving, overflowing. Like, we're filled with hope. We share that hope. Other people get that hope. We're fighting discouragement. We're defeating discouragement. We're filled with hope, filled with joy, thanksgiving to the glory of God. This treasure is pretty powerful, pretty important. What's the conclusion as Paul wraps up this chapter in verse 16? What's the conclusion? Therefore, we do not lose heart. Right? It's the chapter starts with that and ends with that. Verse 1, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Verse 16, therefore, because of all that we talked about, this ministry that we have, this treasure that's in us, we do not lose heart. We don't give up. We don't throw in the towel. We face hardship and yet we're not destroyed. Though outwardly we're wasting away. Anybody got an amen to that? Outwardly, we're wasting away, yet inwardly, we're being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So the conclusion is, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. We don't have to lose heart because of what we have. God is still working. Even when it feels like you're in a spiritual winter, spring is coming. God is at work. He never stops. And through you, Because you got the treasure. If you have the treasure. And if you don't, you need it. But if you have the treasure, God is working through you. He's shining his glory through you. So, truth number 7. This is the last one. Our clay pots are breaking down. True. But the treasure inside is mine forever. So whether by old age, persecution, or disease, your clay pot is breaking down. That's your outside. That's your body. It's getting older. It gets sick. It gets beaten. It gets sometimes persecution, danger. Our clay pots are breaking down. Eventually, this clay pot's going to turn to dust. It's going to turn to dust. But that's not a cause for despair because the treasure inside is mine forever. It's not going anywhere, and I'm going with it. So keep in mind, and maybe this will help as you wake up with a new ache, a new pain, you see a new wrinkle in the mirror. Every time that happens, that can remind you, this isn't where my hope is. Every light and momentary trouble that feels overwhelming and consuming, every light and momentary trouble you face here is moving you one step closer to eternal glory. And when you finally see that day, then those things will feel light and momentary. Until then, they'll probably feel big. But it's a comparison thing, and the glory that's coming is far greater, far outweighs them all. So don't let yourself focus in on the momentary troubles, right? That's what he says. Fix your eyes, fix your heart on eternal things. The glory that's already yours. The treasure's inside you already. Right? God's already put his treasure in you and permanently sealed you, which makes you part of his treasure. You are his treasure. And God's not careless with his treasure. Sometimes we don't understand what he's doing, but he's not being careless. He cares for his treasure. He protects it. He displays it. He honors it. God will never stop treasuring the treasure that's you. He won't. That's God's heart. So don't fix your eyes on what is seen, the clay pot that's breaking down. Focus on what is unseen, the treasure of Christ in you, the glory that's coming. Keep your focus there. We're not on a road that ends in death. That's not our road. We're on the road that leads to Jesus. That's our road. That's why we don't lose heart. Next Sunday's the Super Bowl. Some of you care, some of you don't. I heard somebody saying, I don't really watch the Olympics. A lot of people watch the Super Bowl. I don't care if you do or don't. But the LA Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals are going to go head-to-head for that coveted Super Bowl trophy and those massive rings that hang off the winners of every player on the winning team. So think about the Super Bowl. You all know what happens. It's a football game. If you want to win the Super Bowl, every player needs to be 100% focused on the goal, right? There's the goal. And this isn't probably the actual ball, but they need to get a ball like this in their end zone, play by play by play, time after time. And they got to keep it from getting in their own end zone. That's it. And they have to work together to do that. Now imagine if half of the Rams decided not to pursue that goal. They're just excited. We're in the Super Bowl. And they're just prancing around the field looking for their mom or their girlfriend. They're waving. And the Bengals are just like running down the field, touchdown after touchdown. That would not be a Super Bowl, would it? And those guys would be pummeled by their teammates. That's not a game. And that would never happen because to get in the Super Bowl, you got to have focus. You got to be driven. And you've got to keep your eye on the ball and the goal. And you got to work together. I think there's a parallel. As followers of Jesus, by God's mercy, we're on God's team. The game isn't the Super Bowl. The game is life. And every day matters. And every person in your life matters. Whether they're out of the womb, in the womb, young, old, or somewhere in between. Every person is in this game, is on this field. We have to keep our focus on the game because it's the most important thing that exists. Leading people to Jesus, fully following him together, letting our light shine, even when it hurts. But it's a long game. This is a long, long game. It started before Job. This is a long game. And there are times when it feels like nothing's happening. Times it feels like we're losing. It's a long game. Sometimes you feel like we're getting creamed by the opposition. And there are definitely times when we spiritually advance and times when we're tackled or we fumble. We got to remember how long this game is, how limited our perspective is. What's my role in the game? My life is like maybe a series of four downs in the Super Bowl. That's my part in the game. So I want to put it all on the field. I want to keep my focus on what it is that we're here to do. I want to play my four downs as hard as I can because unlike next week's Super Bowl game, we know the final outcome of this one. We know where it's going. Glory's coming. Eternal glory. We know that we win. And that's not a reason to kick back and just wait for it to happen, to prance around the football field and wave to your girlfriend. That's a reason to get in on the action. I know where it's going. We're going to win, and I get to be part of it. So fix your eyes on the eternal goal, the eternal glory that's already been promised, already been put inside of us. You're going to suffer, right? Nobody can completely avoid the baseball bat of life. You will suffer. It's a promise in just about every book in the Bible. Gonna happen. But when you do, God's glory is revealed in your cracks. And when you're really getting hammered, the treasure inside becomes more visible and more transferable. So accept the reality. You're a clay pot. It's breaking down. That's happening. That's okay, because the treasure God put inside me is mine forever. That's the kind of hope that we have as followers of Jesus. That's our hope. So, where are you at with that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7 truths to fight discouragement. Maybe there's one that you really need to think about some more. You really need to let it soak into your soul. So take a minute right now. Am I encouraged? Am I discouraged? What do I need from this passage? What does God want to speak into my soul to give me more hope, to fill me and fight discouragement? Just think about that for a minute, and then we'll sing a song together. Let me pray together. God, thank you that we are yours. And the treasure you put inside us is solid. God, strengthen us for life. And help us to have that kind of focus that keeps moving forward. God, thank you for who we are because of Jesus. We are your treasure. We are your children. We are deeply and forever loved. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you rise to your feet and sing with us? Who you say I am.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me. You know his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Free at last.
Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child. Chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Yes, I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Who the Son?
Who the Son sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Amen. Amen. That's hope. That is hope. Have a seat.
Are we good? We're good. So just a couple things for you to be thinking about coming up. Number one, Life's Choices are here. I don't remember the last time they were here to share what's going on, but they've been doing ministry for a long time. How many, do you know when it started? 35 years ago. 35 years ago they started, and they've been through all kinds of things and changes and ups and downs and increased locations, and they didn't used to be in Hamburg. Now they're in Hamburg and Kutztown. But we have a chance to give. They've been doing a fundraiser called like a baby bottle fundraiser, which is real simple. There's bottles out there. You grab the bottle, and you just put spare change in it or $100 bills or checks for $1 million, whatever you want. You just fill this thing up as full as you want, and in a couple weeks we'll bring it back. Now, I will say the dates on here, we decided to change that. It says February 20th because they were going to come earlier, and we'd rather give you more like a month to do this because I don't know how much change you get. but it doesn't take long to write a check. I mean, you could do that. But we're going to give you 2 extra weeks. So today is February 6th. We're going to go till March 6th. So exactly a month from now until March. If you just take one of these home and put change in it, whatever you want to, bring that back, and we'll just give them a whole bunch of baby bottles with money in them. So this is a ministry that the people who come to them, they don't usually come with a checkbook or a debit card and be like, how much can I pay you for what you've done? This is a free ministry. This is a volunteer kind of thing. So they depend on support from churches, from individuals, from donors, and they do these fundraisers throughout the year. There's a walk run coming up. They do some different ones just to keep the money going because it costs money to do something like this. So if you want to be part of it, you can put money in a bottle. There's an offering plate in the back. If you're like, yeah, I don't want the bottle. I don't do anything with change. You can leave money in the offering plate if you want, and that's at the Life's Choices table. There's a different table up there, so you can do that if you want either way. But if you'd like to support them, just remember that the dates that are printed all over the stuff is actually 2 weeks early. So you got a month to do it if you'd like to participate. The other thing I want to mention is in a couple more weeks, February 20th, that's 2 weeks from today, we have Ari Halbin coming from Chosen People Ministries. He's coming, and we decided that we want to have a brunch after the time that he comes. So on the 20th, he's going to come. There's going to be time for Q&A afterward. If you have questions about messianic ministry, people reaching Jews for Jesus, like what is that? If you got questions already, or if you have questions as they come up during the service as he shares, write those things down. There'll be a Q&A afterwards, and after that is a brunch. So it's a potluck style brunch, so everybody brings food. The church isn't providing anything except paper and, paper products. So everybody else brings the food. There's a sign up list. I sent an email out. If you didn't get the email, let me know. I'll get you on the email list. So if you need that, but just bring some food. We'll have a brunch together. That's the 20th. So plan to stick around a little bit longer than usual on the 20th. Other than that, we got normal things going on. Check out your program for that. I hope you've been encouraged by this series about hope. We have a solid hope, and I hope you're filled with that hope as you leave today. But thanks for being with us today. Thank you for being with us live stream, Gideon and Liliana. And I hope you guys have a great day, and we'll see you later. Downstairs, there's snacks. You want to stay as long as you want. Downstairs is wide open for us.